Hello out there, this is Samwise Didier, and you're listening to Hot's Cast for the Storm.
Come out, wherever you are.
You are listening to Hot's Cast. All the Heroes of the Storm coverage you can handle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hotscast episode 113. Hotscast is the show that is completely off the rails and bringing you all of the crazy cool fun from Heroes of the Storm. Today is the 7th of March, 2017. It is a Tuesday. And we are down one Kaylee. She is in, what's Colorado? The Rocky State? Is that what Colorado is? Something like that. She's in Denver.
Mile High City.
Rocky Mountain High, Colorado.
Luckily, we have two Kaylees.
We do. We have two Kaylees.
Down one is okay.
Right.
Yes. We have one in our back pocket.
That's right. And the first Kaylee is Mike. No, just kidding. No, Mike is Mike. Mike
Mine
is
might
here.
Be the second Kaylee.
Yes. The first of the Kaylees is our good friend DG back on the show. How's it going, DG?
Hello, Podcast listeners.
Oh, boy.
We're going to play a little game. You've been listening to podcasts for far too long. That's why you find yourself with these headphones attached to your.
No, I'm not going to continue.
I was going to say, you've been podcasting way too long.
I can improv
your voice
with
like
the
best that.
Of them. I've watched way too many Saw movies that. I could do the whole
show. Sounds like it. Yes. And our second Kaylee is our good friend Kevin, aka Swingcat, who at this very moment is in Karazhan in World of Warcraft. How's it going in there, Kevin?
Hey, it's going well.
It's going well. Did you get the mount yet?
Yeah, I got the mount.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice. That's fantastic. So Kevin will be joining us in full as soon as the raid's over. They're doing one more boss. But we wanted to jump right into the action. And of course, the big news coming out of Katowice, Poland, is Probius, the new Here's the Storm hero coming to the Nexus. He is a StarCraft probe and a Protoss probe, and he's pretty darn awesome. He is Probius, the Curious Probe. And now I hear in my head, curious probe, a curious little probie, or something like that. Since his activation, Probius has always wanted to prove himself. He may be small, but he made a big difference by warping, remember that word, in a critical pylon during the retaking of Ire. For Ire.
As the, it was in the video.
Yes, it was in the video.
For Ire.
As the previous? As the bravest of probes.
Probius?
Probius is eager to fulfill his purpose in the Nexus. I love this thematically that they're bringing a probe into Heroes. Yes. I mean, this is just so out there. It's so out there. I really think he's going to be a heck of a lot of fun to play. Looks like he's going to be pretty complex. They give his complexity rating 7 out of 10, which is high. There's not a lot of heroes that are at that point. They actually, they put him on the damage at 8 out of 10. So they think he's going to be doing a lot of damage. And his utility is low. It's only 4. I mean, you kind of think of a unit from StarCraft like this especially to be, I would think, more utility focused. But they're looking at this guy as a heavy hitter.
Given his talents, he's not.
Yeah.
They're all mostly damage or...
Yeah, exactly.
He's a specialist, though, right?
He is a specialist, yes. They have him as a specialist. They're not considering him an assassin, which makes sense. You couldn't rightfully qualify him as an assassin because it's not like direct attacks. It's not, you know, he's not locking a target down.
StarCraft got there murky.
You know, that's a good point. I heard somebody saying that it's like it's almost like a more active Abathur, but I think
except
I think
you have to be out there.
Yeah, I think calling him a StarCraft murky actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, murky's got great. I mean, look at murky's complexity rating. He's got an 8 out of 10.
He's 8 out of 10. Okay.
Yeah. And his, I just pulled up his page.
Thank you.
He's only got a 5 out of 10 on damage and a 5 out of 10 on utility, but a 1 out of 10 on survival. So Probius is more survivable than Murky, but he doesn't get the quick respawn.
Right.
It takes a little bit more time to set up than Murky, even though so Murky has less setup time. But right. His egg kinda is kind of like similar to the pylons in those respects.
And that's the thing. That's going to be the major thing with Probius is the pylon. That's his trait. His hero trait is warp in pylon, which, of course, why would it not be? And this is kind of crazy. So warp in pylon that generates a power field and grants vision. Makes sense.
Vision.
Probius only regenerates mana while inside a pylon or a power field.
No, I think he generates mana. Otherwise, he just regenerates it faster on the inside. The
pylon field. It's literally it's like anyone else regenerating mana, which is kind of slow.
Well, but it literally says significant. Probius only regenerates mana while inside a power field. That is the exact wording of his hero.
The PTR notes, it says Probius regenerates mana rapidly.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't cross-reference that. Okay. That makes sense. And he can have up to 2 pylons.
The video
active
said
at a time.
It that way too, that it was faster inside the power field. But you're going to be inside the power field most of the time anyway.
Well, yeah, because that's your, I mean, your whole thing is pylon. I mean, it's your whole kit is based around the pylons.
Yep. Well, not entirely, but most.
Well,
of
sort
it.
Of. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, your E relies on being near one, or the E is at least. So
and one of your
and
R's
then your R is significant. Yeah.
Yeah, the pylon overcharge, which is increase the size of the pylon power fields, and they attack enemies within with a DPS 110 damage per second. For 10 seconds. That's big.
Yep. Yeah, it's long. And the cool thing is, if they kill one of the pylons and you put a new one down, it continues to do the
it reactivates it rather than it's basically a buff on him
within 10 seconds.
It.
Right. Yeah. Now, the Null Gate, which is a second heroic ability, that's going to be one of those heroics when you get hit by it, it's going to be so frustrating. Because A, you're getting damage. You take 64 damage per second, and you're slowed for 80% for as long as you remain in contact with it. So if you
only last 4 seconds,
and for 4 seconds at 80% slow, that is horrible. That is horrible.
So it's like a sand trap that doesn't have to build up.
Yes, it's just like. Like running through mud. Oh gosh.
Well, it's gonna be a lot like getting Tassadar's wall, but without the full wall. So it's just gonna slow you. So what it'll actually do is stick you there, as opposed to like the wall, you can kind of run around. You know, if you see it, you can kind of juke it. But if you are like in this, you're pretty much stuck there for the full 4 seconds.
And the range on it's what's going to matter. If its range is going to limit how far, you know, it's going to be more of a counter offensive measure than an aggressive measure.
Yeah.
Because if someone's getting away from you, you might not be able to get them in it before they're out of range.
Right.
Correct.
But the fun part actually, of it too is the damage it does. Because it's not just Tassler's wall. It actually does 64 damage per second.
At level 1, scaling.
Yeah, so scaling, I mean, you could actually finish somebody with this.
Well, and it's a good setup. So if you can catch people in it, like say you drop it into the middle of Battlefield of Eternity in the middle between the phases, where everybody's all stacked up there, that they're not going to be able to run away quickly if then you drop, you know, a bunch of other stuff on top of them.
Right.
I think the bigger advantage over Tassadar's wall is Tassadar's wall blocks your guys. This has no effect on your allies.
That's true.
You know, and Illidan starts to dive on your team. You can drop this in the middle of your team, and Illidan is just like, no, get me out of here.
Right. Right. Yep. No, that's exactly right.
If Murky is an aggressive character, Probius is a defensive character.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
You know, Murky takes the fight to a building, to a location. You know, he goes in, he starts sliming, he's dropping fish. He's the aggressive, you know, specialist in this case.
Right.
Probius, meanwhile, is the defensive one.
Right.
You need time to set up. You want them to be coming at you because you have all these defenses set up. You have either Null Gate or Pylon Overcharge when you get your team gets dived on. he is, you know, this weird mirror of Murky in a lot of respects.
Right.
And that's why I keep comparing them. You know, they're both kind of a little bit goofy take on something from their universes. It just feels like that's why there's just such an apt comparison between the two.
Yeah. And I think thematically they really nailed it because, I mean, as all of us being WoW players here, we know that Murlocs were so enragingly? No, just incessantly annoying when you were leveling that, you know, that holding
infuriating.
Thank you. And that is what Murky is. A good Murky player just tilts the other team so bad. And it thematically works. It works great. And this is a StarCraft unit. Like, this is a StarCraft unit-ass unit. This is beyond Sergeant Hammer. This is beyond Lieutenant Morales. I mean, this is a StarCraft unit playing StarCraft. The whole micromanagement, the whole APM aspect of StarCraft inside of Heroes of the Storm. And I love that. I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, I am stoked for this hero. I seriously, I can't wait.
If he doesn't get Mule as one of his,
that would just be wrong.
Don't they? Have
he needs to have Mule.
He needs to have Mule.
I don't know if he does.
Yeah,
that should have been his trait to be able to repair structures.
That would have been cool.
That would have been a good trait.
Actually, what would be cool is if you drop a pylon within range of a structure, it heals it.
It heals it. That would actually
make that a talent. Make that a talent where you basically, the talent would be ability to basically have pylons repair structures.
Right. Because that would actually make him more of a specialist.
Yeah. Well, that would give you a choice then. So you could use the pylons more for, you know, your vision or for your damage you want to do or the photon.
Okay.
Cannon,
you want all those talents?
Or you can for defense. Sure.
Yeah.
I got
his
talents pulled up.
Go.
All right. Level 1, Echo Pulse. Disruption Pulse now returns to Probrius 1.25 seconds after reaching its target, dealing 75% of damage on the return trip, basically making his Q boomerang. Warp Resonance. Hit heroes with Warp Resonance explosions. After 10, it increases the explosion damage by 100. After hitting 20, you gain an additional charge of Warp Resonance. Warp Rift. Or Warp Resonance. And finally, for level 1, Gather Minerals. Enemy heroes and minions drop minerals when killed. Collect them to increase the health of photon cannons by 8 up to 560, which would be 70 mineral collections. Bonus reward when you collect all 70, photon cannons deals 25% more damage and can see over obstacles and reveal cloaked units. At level 4, photon barrier. While a photon cannon is alive and powered, Probrius gains 30 spell armor. Turbocharged. Worker Rush grants that's his Z moot, which increases his movement when he's in range of pylons. Worker Rush grants an additional 10% passive movement speed while in the power field, and its cooldown is reduced by 20 seconds.
Oh, you just got real choppy.
Go faster. Shield Capacitor. Probrius gains permanent shield equal to 10% of his max health. Shields regenerate quickly as long as he hasn't taken damage recently. So you can make him a mini Artanis, kind of. That's his final level 4.
Right.
At level 7, Particle Accelerator. Disruption Pulse deals 10% more damage for each enemy or Warp Rift hit, up to 40. So the more things you're shooting through, the more damage it does. Might be good for wave clear or hitting those enemies who are hiding in the waves. Rift Shock. Hitting an enemy hero with Warp Rift Explosion increases Probrius damage against them by 20% for 10 seconds. It's kind of a 1-2 combo. Tower Defense. When Photon Cannon damages an enemy hero, its cooldown is reduced by 1.25 seconds. So when you're under assault, you can power up faster. Then 10 are his ultimates, which we've already mentioned.
Right.
13, Aggressive Matrix. Pylon Power Field grants ally heroes 20% increased attack damage. They're all pylon increasing, by the way, this talent tier. Power Overflowing. Pylon's Power Field grants allied heroes 10% increased spell power and 2 mana per second. And finally, Shield Battery. Pylon Power Fields grant allied heroes 30 shields per second up to 120. Shields persist for 4 seconds after exiting the Pylon Power Field.
That's kind of nice.
So you
I
have
like
a,
the mana
a,
for a team fight,
here.
You can just drop that.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are all passive too, so making his pylons kind of a buffer.
Drop a pylon down and then drop another, you know, if they destroy the pylon, just drop another one down. I'm sure there's a cooldown, but.
Right. I mean, this just.
Keep dropping pylons.
Everything is so thematically, fantastically accurate to StarCraft. Yeah. I love it.
And finally, for 16, we have all of them affecting warp resonance. Quantum entanglement. Enemies continue to be slowed for 3.5 seconds after their last contact with a warp rift. Gravity well. Enemies are slowed more the closer they are to the center of the warp rift, up to a maximum of 60%. Repulsor. Enemies hit by a warp rift explosion are knocked away from the center. And finally, interference. Enemy heroes hit by a warp rift detonations have their spell power reduced by 35% for 3 seconds. Believe this is the third case we have of a spell power reduction now via talents.
Okay.
The first one was Chen, who got it a few patches ago. Now Unubarak's getting one this patch, and Probius will be getting one as well there.
Nice. Yeah, so anti-spellcaster. Very nice.
Yeah, a little bit, if you need it.
If you need it,
quite
right.
A few. Actually, he's got quite a few talents that are pretty good against spellcasters. One of his pylon boosts gave spell armor and... Yeah, could be useful.
So he does have a lot of utility.
Yep. Level 20s. The ult from Pylon Overcharge. Construct additional pylons. Probius can now have up to 3 active pylons and increase the damage of Pylon Overcharge by 25%.
Must construct additional pylons.
Must construct additional pylons. That's right.
Must construct additional pylons.
Must construct pylons.
Gatekeeper. Null gate lasts indefinitely if either end is within a power field. Only one null gate may be active at a time.
Holy crap. Cool. Wow. That's insane.
That just leaves me with one question. Who's the keymaster?
You'll just have to find out.
All right. His other level 20, shoot him up. Hitting a warp rift with disruption pulse causes 4 additional pulses that deal 50% damage to be fired from the impact location in a different direction. Additional pulses do not benefit from echo pulse or particle accelerator. So he gets a 50% buff. So basically, when you shoot the black hole he lays down, additional 50% untalented shots will fire out of the center in 4 directions.
Right.
So, and finally, Probius Loop. Whenever a rift explosion hits 2 or more enemy heroes, it creates a new warp rift in the same location.
Nice.
I like the name of that, Probius Loop.
Yeah. Oh, the naming convention is fantastic on all of them. Well done on that. Yep.
Construct additional pylons.
Construct additional pylons, yeah. Yep. I think a lot is going to have to be seen or said of just the pacing, you know, how he feels in the match, in the games, you know, how quickly
you can... Yeah, I
think
a lot of his damage, at least from what they were showing in the video, is based on blowing up those rifts.
Yeah.
So you drop the rift, you blow them up, drop the rift, blow them up. That can deal the most damage. The rest of it is not as... Like, that's why probably his damage is high, because it's, in some ways, it's almost like the pufferfish, except you detonate it, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's you're dropping it there instead of your, like I said, it's a defensive thing. Instead of punishing people for not being counteractive to you, like the pufferfish just, you know, because you have to kill the fish.
Yeah.
Here it's, you're setting up a defensive position for the rift and then blowing it up at the most either opportune time or at the last possible moment to get the most damage off out of it.
Well, and it also slows the enemy down too.
Right.
So it can be something to slow them down enough that you have time to blow them up too. So you can get that shot in that maybe you couldn't get in otherwise.
Exactly.
And the queue is pretty long, so you can hit those warp rifts from pretty far away.
Yep.
And the shot continues to after it hits the rift. The shot keeps
going. Those might
going.
Be really good for Dragonshire, for when you're trying to take the shrines. You know, if the people are on the shrine, you just can drop those in. Either people have to get off the shrine, or you're going to start blowing them up.
Right.
And you can do it from farther away if you need to.
Hero.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to get you off of those spots.
I'm going to be curious to see how he and Gazlo are comparable to, because Gazlo's getting a big rework because they're trying to make them less similar.
Yeah, there is a lot of reworks coming in the next release too. The there's a lot of combos I can see with him, like with Nazebo, you can drop somebody in place with the circle and then pop one of these down and blow them up. I mean, there's a lot of the combos you can do with anybody that stops people, as long as you can drop it and hit it quickly. The nice thing is, if you can stop somebody, you drop it, they slow down enough that you should easily be able to pick them off.
Yeah.
I think he's going to contribute a lot to a team fight, though, if you just throw the rift out and the rift lasts. How long does that rift last? The rift itself lasts 9 seconds.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it lasts a while.
It's 1.25 seconds to arm.
Yeah, so after
once you see it, it's a little white speck there for just over a second. The enemy team has time to move away from it. And then it lasts 9 seconds. So you don't just want to drop it and immediately blow it up unless they're all moving out of it.
Right.
You want to leave it sit there. And it slows. It only slows while it's active. So maybe you do want to blow it up right away. But I mean, then you look at which buffs you put on it and potentially.
Right.
I mean, that's going to be great for preventing team fights as the enemy team walks at you. You drop one of those in front of your team.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of utility to explore with him. I'm looking forward to this. I think he's going to be really, really unique. And, you know, like you said, StarCraft murky, but at the same time, I'm really looking forward to seeing if he can work his way into the meta and see what, you know, especially the pros get to do with him. He's going to be fun.
Judging from the record of most recently released characters, not much.
Yeah, that's true.
Pros, they play like the same.
They do.
30 characters tops.
They do. They definitely do. Yeah.
And whenever someone strays out of those 30 characters, that character just loses horribly.
Yeah.
I think Lucio got played once at the Western Clash, and everyone, I think, decided never again.
Did he really? Yeah.
I'd have to look at the stats, but I know I saw one game where he got played early on, and just it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
Not go well for that team.
Right. Oh, well. What are you going to do?
I think he'll be interesting to see because I do think he does have some good team possible synergy. Like I said, defensive setting up, though, is what's going to drag him down.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's probably going to knock him out of pros a bit because the pros are very mobile. They're constantly changing where the fights and engages are happening. It'll be certain maps only, really, I think, where he's going to be viable.
It'll be interesting to see if a lot of crossover players from StarCraft 2 into Heroes will embrace him just because of how similar in a play style he can be. And, you know, you get these guys with superhuman APMs. It'll be really cool to see what they can do with
playing Vikings. It's still in my opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
What is the cooldown on the pylon? Is there one? And does it
14 second cooldown?
Ooh, sorry. So you get two. Is it like one of those two things, and you can do two right away, but then 14 second to regenerate?
I see what you're saying.
No, it doesn't say it has two charges.
It's
going to
replace the last one that you put down. If you put two down,
you can have two up at a time, but it doesn't say it has two charges.
It doesn't have a little two thing. I'm in the try mode now.
Oh, are you? Nice.
So
very nice.
Yeah, you can only put one.
So if you put one down, then it's 14 seconds before you can put a second one down.
Yes.
Yep.
But they last forever.
Yep. They do not have a timer as far as I know.
Right. Last until you cast your next one, basically.
But Photon Cannon does have a timer, so it disappears after a while.
Correct. Does Probius regain mana when he's not in the pylon field?
Yeah, that's what I'm interested to know. Because it's the trait says he only regains it in the power field.
No, if you're not in range, you don't get any mana back at all.
Okay, because that's what it says. Yeah, that's what it stipulates.
The patch notes don't say that.
Though putting down a pylon does not cost mana, so.
Okay.
That's good, because otherwise you'd be in trouble. Because
and
then
neither
you
do photon cannons.
Right. Huh. Well, that's the thing. I mean, they really
considering they're powered by the pylon, you shouldn't cost you any mana.
Right. Right. Ultimates cost 100 mana though, and Warp Rift is 150, and Disruption Pulse is 75. So his abilities are rather pricey.
Right. So you really need to make sure that you're always fighting within a pylon, essentially.
Like I said, he is designed very defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be setting your... This is not, you know, like a Valyra style, Zeratul style.
This is not a Gazlow who is slowly creeping up the lane.
Right. Or a Gazlow who just unleashes everything he has and runs away. Like, you need to plan what you're doing. You need to have a build order. You basically need to have a build order, in a sense.
Sort of, yeah. I think his maps will be Braxis, probably.
And a Barracks first. And
he'll do well on Braxis, Dragonshire.
Yeah.
Sky Temple a bit.
Yeah.
Infernal Shrines, potentially.
Yep. Well, Garns of Terror.
Pylon gives you vision.
Vision is nice, yeah.
That may be really good to be able to put one down for vision.
I don't know if that reveals or not.
Vision. So, well, it gives you
vision. It gives vision, doesn't reveal.
But it doesn't reveal. But then it does
have... You can talent to get the reveal, though.
Talent. Is it talent for reveal or cease over obstacles?
Both.
Oh, both. Okay. Yeah. So the talent is, but that was a later talent too.
No, that's level one. It's a quest though.
Was it one? Oh, no. Yes, that's true. Yes. So it takes a while. Yeah. So you can take
it. You need to gather 70 minerals, which I'm guessing is going to be similar to Butcher's Blood.
Yeah. Right. Right. And again, they did a great job.
But it makes the cannons see over obstacles and reveal units, not the pylons.
Oh, the cannons.
Those only last a while.
They last 11 seconds. Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't that interesting? So the cannons actually do the reveal. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I guess that balances it up a bit. Since, you know, an eternally around revealing pylon that isn't that easy to just blow up.
Right.
Yep.
I like that.
I do like that level 13. He does become sort of an off support a little bit, depending.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But therein lies some of the specialist instead of the assassin.
Yeah.
You know, just because somebody's a damage dealer doesn't necessarily make them an assassin.
Definitely some variety in build here, depending on what you're up against.
I do think they're starting to come up against their own terminology at this point. I think they're realizing that just having tank, support, specialist, and assassin is not really doing the game justice.
Well, they have multi now.
Yeah, well, sort of. They call them that, but it doesn't say that in game, does it? Yeah. What does it say? What does Varian say?
Multi-class.
It does say multi-class.
Uh-huh. Multipass.
Okay. Multipass, yes.
Lilo Dallas multiclass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But Varian at the moment, Varian's the only one, right?
He's currently the only multiclass.
Right.
But given that they did do this whole thing and make a multiclass be a filter and all sorts of crap, I would assume that there are more coming and planned.
You would think.
Yeah, they're not going to put themselves in the corner and say, we're never making another one. This is the only one.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Well, it's silly. Why would they have made a filter and all this stuff for it if they were going to do that?
Yeah.
So, I think they need to do like the different types. So now they need to do like assassin support or support.
You know, Karazim is assassin support.
There are a difference between
maybe they should change Karazim to multi-class too.
Well, no, they're saying that there's a difference between multi-class and hybrid.
Yes.
Yeah.
A hybrid can do both at the same time. The multi-class is supposed to be selected completely and it changes
at some key point.
Full way he works.
Like Varian is not really a warrior if you do not take taunt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, so I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty darn stoked for Probius. I thought the video was awesome.
Pretty good.
I really enjoyed the video. That was fun.
They had two videos, remember? They had the one where it was kind of just the fun one that introduces him, and then they have the one that explains all his talents and stuff.
The Cloaken video. They had the fun video and the Cloaken video. We got to have our Cloaken videos, you know. They can't deny us the Cloaken.
Well, you need that to explain, you know, in tournaments. So they put those in there. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you need the other ones to be the commercials during the tournament.
Right, precisely.
Those are all the commercials.
Yeah.
It's all the different videos.
I wish they would figure out a way to have more than like six of them in the rotation.
It really gets a little
you just need to have one guy who goes, okay, this match, these guys have been drafted. All right, halfway through the match, you go, all right, this team's winning. We're going to put those five in the rotation.
Right.
Two from the losing team.
Yep.
You know, just flip some switches. And that's what's going to be in our next break.
Right.
Yep. And then you'd see, or you know, you have like a pool of the lesser played characters, and you always put like one of those in, plus, you know, the winning team's rotation videos.
That would be good.
I always thought it was random.
Synergy. There's no way it's random considering how many times we saw the Variant commercial during the Western Clash.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
They have to not have everything in there somehow. I mean, I'm sure they could be doing it better and they just aren't focusing on it.
Right.
I think they're missing a golden opportunity to just push whatever heroes are getting played and which heroes are not getting played at all.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, they have to be. They have to be. It only makes sense.
Western Clash. It was like every break, Cho'Gall, Varian, Ragnaros.
Mm-hmm.
And there was those, and that was it.
Right. Yep.
And then Probius, after they revealed Probius, he was in every commercial break as well.
Yeah. They should start doing like other stuff too, you know, other games. Start having commercials for, I don't know, Diablo.
They do occasionally throw those in there.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
Usually Overwatch more than anything else.
Well, there's a good crossover there with, you know, the esport aspect of it. So, it makes sense. It definitely
makes
sense.
Did you look at who all got reworks this patch?
I did not. Yeah, I really didn't.
There's a bunch.
Yeah.
Cho'Gall, Gazlo, Anubarak, Arthas... And then minor tweaks to a handful, Johanna and Tyrael being the most tweaked.
Personally going to be looking into Tyrael because Tyrael is my homie. So
Tyrael is, they basically are making him a little bit more anti-mage.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
15 spell armor, reduced his health and health regen a bit to compensate.
I don't like that.
And then removed amplified healing, imposing will. And drops the hardened shield for nullification shield, which gives him 60 spell armor for 5 seconds. So he's a bit more dive in the back line and take out the mages now.
See, that I kind of have always played him that way anyway, so yeah. I'm okay with that.
Yep.
I did sometimes take amplified healing though, not often, but sometimes.
Yeah. And I think they took imposing will, so he can't spec to be too anti auto attack.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then Johanna went the opposite way. She got 25 physical armor. Also got health and health regen reductions.
Which is funny because her last skin to come out was Spellbreaker.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, but she's always had the blind as part of her kit and the slow. Yeah, so she's always been kind of the anti-melee. And so they took away, spell shield and amplified healing from her. I guess they're just taking the amplified healing off because it's kind of a generic.
Too hard to kill to begin with.
She was, she's always been very hard to kill, but she doesn't really do that much damage, so it kind of balances that out.
And then they reduced her reinforced talent down the 25% they made baseline, obviously. The 25 physical armor that they made baseline, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Arthas and Nubarak got major overhauls, though. Anubarak is now like the anti-mage.
Okay.
They
were talking about that for a while, that Anubarak was going to be the anti-mage.
They did reduce his spell armor and his basic attack, but now his burrow charge gets a slow if it hits somebody on base. And his shield ability went up a bit.
Okay.
And now he can talent. They took away dampened magic and reduced it and made his gave him a new talent called Nerubian Armor that gives him 30 spell armor instead of the 50 that he was getting. So instead of being at 75, potentially, he's now 50 max.
Okay.
Which is a bit less ridiculous considering if you played a mage against a Nubarak and he had dampened magic, your abilities just did nothing.
Yeah, right.
You were useless. I mean, every 8 seconds. Yeah, that's about a major cooldown.
Right.
So.
And the interesting thing about Arthas is they're going the opposite way and not making him a bruiser and turning him more into a tank now.
And a melee tank at that. They made his Frozen Tempest is now like Lucio's Crossfade. In fact that it's once you activate it, it's an aura, so you can't be stunned to get rid of it if it's active.
Oh,
you just cannot toggle it while stunned. You can still turn it on and off, and it'll stay either on or off based on what it's at when you get stunned. Oh. So they can't stun you to stop you from doing it. And it now has it builds up its attack speed slow baseline as well.
Very nice.
Its damage has been reduced slightly to compensate.
Well, that makes sense.
They did bump up his Army of the Dead ult, though. Cooldown lowered.
Using Cindergosa.
Yeah. Cooldown reduced, mana cost reduced, ghoul attack damage increased, ghoul health increased. We're doing this the thrall scaling thing where it's like, well, this one's getting picked 100% of the time.
Right.
Let's tilt those scales until someone thinks about picking it, then we'll rebalance it.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. They actually gave him a health and health regen increase. Attack reduction, though. So, yeah, they did take him away from bruisering. He's just going to be a threat that just slowly stomps after you. Unless he has a Lucio behind him, then he's going to quickly run at you with all the speed.
There's something weird, though, about Arthas moving fast, you know, thematically. Yeah.
Just picture the Lich King bearing down at you with Jet Set Radio Future blaring behind him.
What was
and tell me you did not just need to go change your pants.
what was that dungeon where the whole premise of it was Arthas just also slowly reflection. Is that what it was where he was just slowly walking towards you? Oh my gosh. When that first came out, that was the stuff of nightmares.
It felt like he was jogging at you, didn't it?
Yes, it was the stuff of nightmares. I remember
taking that and just being like, you guys need to kill these things faster.
Yes, yes. And I'm healing it. I'm like, he's right here. Must move faster. Must move faster. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Dungeon.
That's actually something I was doing before I let my subscription lapse. Was I was going and running those three dungeons for the gear because they had some nice, actually some really interesting colorations in there. Have you done that at like level 100 or 110, though?
No, gosh, no.
I mean, it is the most tedious dungeon to switch yourself through when you out level it that much because you're waiting on things to spawn constantly.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
The first section is a gauntlet where you're waiting on the ghouls to spawn. So you're just sitting in the corner because they're casters and you're probably melee, you know, half them you're melee. So you're just sitting in the corner waiting for everyone to run to you. One AoE. Okay, next round.
Yeah.
You know, five rounds of that and a boss, five rounds of that and a boss. Book down the hallway, just one-shotting the few things in your way.
Right.
Get to the far end until you have to wait for Jaina to do her cutscene. Go like, okay, let's go, Jaina. Yes, I play Alliance. Let's go. And then you're literally just standing there, backing away from Arthas, going, okay.
But Jaina's here to help. She's here to help.
Oh, yeah, she's there to help.
Yeah, she's here to help.
But I'm waiting on Arthas to spawn his dude because, come on, dude, I don't want to be here all day.
Cool.
All
right. Brother.
You kill the wave, wall goes down, she runs the next one, kill the next one. Funny though when you finish that because then Arthas does just like book it down the hallway to get to the end cutscene.
Yes.
After you've killed the four walls worth of minions or whatever.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go back and do that. Definitely. Yeah,
it's just that last bit of just Arthas running down the hall so he can get there in time to have the wall collapse on.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss Wrath of the Lich King, honestly. That was a great expansion. Speaking of missing things. If you were missing the On Fire portrait, it's back. So if you're on a kill streak and here's the storm with the next batch, they're bringing it back. I'll tell you what, you guys listening here, you need to go to the patch notes because they have never had more graphically intense and animated patch notes. And when I mean animated, I mean it's actually animated. They actually have animations within the patch notes. It's really cool.
Well, no, it's not a patch note. It's a news posting.
Well, yeah, but it is the patch. Patch preview, I guess. You're right. Yeah. It's not just the plain patch notes. You're right. But even that, they really did a good job with the formatting. But yeah, we're getting the flames back. We're getting the kill streak on fire flames. And
I think it's a bigger deal that we're getting like the whole party frames at the top of the screen.
The party frames
now.
Is cool. I'm liking the party frames.
Like the observer bit that we used to have in the.
Yeah.
You get in the pros when the pros play in that now, it's just going to be a default part of the interface.
Yep.
And yep. You can see your allies' ultimate cooldown as well.
I have to say, that was one of the things. I didn't play a lot of League of Legends before Heroes came out, but, you know, in the run to Heroes, the alpha launching on this show, we used to play League, you know, every other week. We would do the show, and then the other week we'd play League, waiting for Heroes to come out, waiting for the alpha. And that was one of the biggest things that was kind of jarring to me at first is you had no party frames. Like you had no idea what was going on with your teammates unless you actually clicked around on the map.
And I like the death timer being on the frame and just a timer.
Yeah.
So you can see it dark. So it looks just like the pro one.
Yeah.
And because otherwise, like say you kill a couple guys, you have to like mouse over the thing to see who it was that is dead.
Right.
For the other team. So, or your team. So with this, you can at a glance, okay, great. Yep. I know exactly what the deal is.
And the best UI is always at a glance.
Right.
Exactly.
It should be noted.
Take a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And it should be noted while you can see your ally's ultimate cooldown, health, and mana, or whatever resource they happen to have, you can only see what ultimate your enemies have pit. It doesn't go on cooldown when they use it.
Yeah.
You can't see it. You can only see which one they have,
which is only nice. Fair.
It's good. You can't keep track of if it's on cooldown just by looking up at the top of the screen.
And that's fair.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would
helpful
be
though. Oh, they just picked their alts. What alt did ETC go? Did he go mosh pit?
Don't
worry about grouping, or is he going to be?
Yeah. You don't have to tab to pop in and see what it is. I mean, I would love to be able to see all of the picks up there, but
I think it just gets crowded.
It'd be a little too
crowded. It's a little too crowded for an in-game UI.
Yep.
Yeah, it would be too crowded for in-game. Absolutely. It's good. It's good to see them still
check it out.
Yeah, it's good to see them still tweaking the UI. You know, it's nice. They still have a ways to go on some heroes.
It's good to see them tweaking.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see.
And when you're on fire, it does show at on those party frames.
Yeah, that is.
They start to glow up there.
Yep.
They glow up there. They glow on the score screen, and if you're on fire, you can see
your pantalones en el fuego.
Yes.
You can see your portrait, your character portrait at the bottom left will go on fire as well.
Pantalones en fuego.
Instead of being on the health bar, which is they deem too distracting, so they put it in three other places. So it's easily noticed. And they do have a kill feed now as well that pops up. So you can see who got the killing blow on who.
Oh, that's – yeah, I saw that. That's nice. Cool. I'm digging that. I am definitely digging that. So, yeah, big big patch preview. Make sure to head to the Here's the Storm.
You got
to
call it the show today, Probius en Fuego.
Probius en Fuego. Yes, as the Germans say. Probius en Fuego.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Shout out to NBA Jam.
NBA Jam. Yes. He's on fire. Is it the shoes?
There was a baseball game that they had the batter would like catch on fire and go like charge the mound and stuff.
Oh yeah, what was that?
I don't remember, but it was like
that's right. That was
an off one.
Teams.
Yeah, it wasn't like MLB, you know, something. It was
I don't remember.
It was
but
a
it
funny
was a
name.
One.
It was like the pitch or
oh, it was like the NFL Blitz of baseball, wasn't it?
Yes, exactly.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Almost like the Tecmo Bowl.
They charged the mound and stuff.
It was like the Tecmo Bowl. Like, they didn't have any official teams. Like, there was no...
They had some of the official stuff in those games, though, didn't they?
In what,
NBA?
I had,
like, the NHL. I remember back then I had, like, the NHL, NHL hits for GameCube.
Yes, but then there was also the fake hockey. What was that called? It was all made up teams, like Tecmo Bowl, all made up teams, and it was, and they were like goofy names too, like the Montreal, I don't know, maple syrup eaters, or I don't know, something like that. What the heck was that called? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I'm getting delirious. Let's wrap this thing up, and I don't know about you guys, but I want to play at least one match before I go to bed. So let's start with our guest, Kevin. Why don't you tell the fine folks where they can find you?
I am at SwingCat with a K on Twitter, and you can check out our podcast, Azeroth Coast to Coast, and you can find that on Twitter as well.
Yes, definitely check that out. It is a fantastic show, and it's got an amazing name, an like the best name ever. Right. You should.
I wonder who came up with it.
At some point, I should actually just go back and screen cap the pages, the long list of names that I was firing off to Kevin for an entire day. Like, I was just firing name after name after name. I should screen cap that at some point,
yeah,
and post
that. Stuck.
Yeah. DG, give the folks the infos.
I'm on Twitter at DG Dragon, DEGEI Dragon, and anything else I'm doing, I'll probably post on there. I'm kind of on hiatus from the group quest at thegroupquest.com because I'm not playing Warcraft and life is pretty miserable right now. So,
I'm sorry to hear that. I hope we could bring a little light into your life tonight.
It is what it is. That's about all I can say.
Okay, gotcha. Mike, how about you?
You can find me at Fimlys, FIMLYIS, on Twitter and on Just Another Blogcast and all sorts of stuff like that.
Yes, all sorts of stuff.
all the things. And you need to get me a segment.
Oh, okay. I will do that. You can find me at Vincent Minucci. Minucci is two N's and two C's. MINNUCCI. You can,
like zucchini, but different.
Yes. I have never. Wow. Yes, that came out of nowhere. Yes, like zucchini, but different. Check out Geek or Die. We are back to recording that regularly. Having a great time. Had a bit of a hiatus last year for. Well, a very big and obvious reason, if you know kind of the circumstances behind it, I guess it's obvious. But let's check out the show. Episode 50, I explain it at the very beginning of the show, what happened last year. There was a death in the family of one of the hosts, and very tragic and sudden thing. And but you know what? We're back in the mix of it, and it's awesome. So give that a listen. You can find that at Geek or Die Show on Twitter. And over on the D20 Crit Network at d20crit.com. And, of course, Lyrics Undercover. If you love music, go check that out, lyricsundercover.com. That's a show I produce for Brian Ibbett of Coverville. And that's it. That's the show. Cheers, folks. Oh, find us, this show, at Hotscast on everything. All the social medias, Hotscast.com, Hotscast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all the fine stuffs. We made it easy for you. One name, Hotscast, does it all.
Doom shakalaka.
Yes. And stop.
Oh, shit.
Nuclear launch detected.
I rolled a 20.